World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I don't have on the right shirt today. I didn't think about this as I was getting dressed this morning. I should be wearing a shirt that says, I've got a little mark here on. I should be wearing a shirt that says, I love my wife. Rob Pugh gave me one of those. Black and white, says, I love my wife, and I do. And that's what I ought to start out here the 4th of July and have that shirt on and let everybody know, let the world know that I couldn't do what I do without that sweet little thing upstairs right now, probably. Fixing breakfast. Craig's still here. Tommy went home. That's a whole nother story. Seven people coming tonight. Seven. I'm going to spend the night here. We're not complaining. Please don't take that as a complaint. Seven people. Picking up Ken Hall today at the airport about noon. Ken's flying in from Omaha, Nebraska. Ken's the one who's written the song, the theme song for EqualJusticeTour.com. Getting him at the airport. Vic's coming in at midnight tonight. Got a slew of them coming in tomorrow for our drive to Chappaqua, New York. We're on the 4th of July. And the truth is, although I find moments of refreshing, it my poor wife, she's changing sheets this morning. I just love my wife. I don't know what it's like to live with a... We've had the most wonderful marriage, 39 and a half. And I don't know how she puts up with me. The crazy notions I have, the crazy things that I do. Last night we had, most of you know, some of you know, some of you don't know, some of you haven't realized that Michelle and I bit the bullet and we bought this 29 and a half acres right next door to us, which now puts us in a setting where we have almost, my math is any good, 48 or 49 contiguous acres that my son-in-law and now Michelle and I own with this beautiful home up on top of a hill, a place called Sky High, because it's the most, it's the highest place overlooking Buckeye Lake. Buckeye Lake is a large 10-mile lake here in the Buckeye Lake, Ohio area. And we've been working on it the last 3 or 4 days, been working pretty hard. And last night we took some of our family up and we watched the fireworks from on top of Sky High. That's going to be another one of those memories that I'm going to remember for a long time. And praise the Lord, my daughter Abby is starting to get the vision for that place. I'm telling you, it's just a fabulous, fabulous thing. It has a lot of work that needs to be done. I think Craig, that he's come in, he's got the water running, he's working on the, getting some, we found a lake in the gas line somewhere, he's working on that, we're pulled up carpet, Craig has trimmed back all kinds of brush and trees and grass is cut, that place is coming alive, folks. It's Sky High, all right, brother. The Lord said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. As I sang the other day, that song, going up to the high places that tear the devil's kingdom down. That's what we're doing. And it was a gift from God. I remember the whole story. My grandson prophesied to me. Grandpa, he laid his hands on me. He says, the Lord shall open doors and you shall walk through them. And we walked through them. Just a lot of stuff going on. I had a guy call me yesterday and wants to donate to the ministry a fifth wheel camper. I don't know if you guys know what those are. Sleeps 8. He's had it for a while, and he said, I was going to try to sell it and get some money out of it, but he said, you can probably get better use out of it than I can. So I've got a fifth wheel camper coming our way. What do you say with that? Well, I'll throw a picture up there and show you what it is. the Lord just continues to dump stuff into our lap. I thank all of you yesterday who made donations yesterday to at equaljusticetour.com. Got a big weekend ahead, big weekend. There are some finances involved with it, and a lot of you stepped to the plate yesterday. A lot of you still could. We appreciate it. Every cent you give us, we're going to spend. As I explained to a guy yesterday who sent $500 our way, I was on the phone with him. I said, listen, we're okay. We have the money to make it through what we're doing. But every time we do something, I want to replenish the stock. Because we need money for the next time that we do. But I don't want you folks out there to ever think that I step out and do things recklessly that we don't have the expenses to cover it. Looking at this trip, it's probably going to cost us neighborhood of $4,000. That's what it cost us last time. Maybe more, maybe five. And we have the $5,000 to cover it. But I thank some of you yesterday who began to restock the cabinets. You know what I'm talking about. Because there are going to be others coming. So, and praise the Lord on Independence Day here, July 4th. I was kind of debating in my own mind, what kind of show I was going to do today. Because I got a great, great teaching I want to do on spiritual warfare. And I just don't know. Should I do it today? I thought yesterday's show was, wow, was that as a power pack thing. And I've got one inside of me today I think is even better than that one. But we'll just have to trust it. People are going to see it all on their own. Hey, I got an email today, Jared. If you would go to Doug Hagman's Facebook page. Facebook page. I think you just go to Facebook and type in Doug Hagman, I think. Because Doug's posting a lot of stuff. He told us yesterday that we can keep up with him, what's going on, by visiting his Facebook page. He sent me a real brief little email last night. I said, Coach, check out this video. Check out this video. So I went to the link. I believe in Jared can find it there. Give him a sec. There it is. And there it is. It appears to me to be some type of arrest. It says the fabulous men and women in blue deserve a lot of credit, professional courage. They're the best. However, if you kill my son, I'm coming for you. All stops removed. Justice is coming for you. I will not tire or waver. I know what happened. Click on see more, Jared. It says, I know what happened. I know you are reading this. TikTok. And so what it is about a 20-second video. I don't know, Jared, if you can play it. Nothing going on.
Make yourself known. Oh. Police department, anybody in here?
So they went in. And Jared, if you can, just scroll down to the next one on Doug Hagman's website there. Hey, listen, I just want to give some time to Doug. He lost his son. It matters. May not matter to you, but it matters to him. It matters to me. Faithful man of God, standing up and the stuff that's going on, lost his son. He says, here's how to build a criminal case, part one. We're going to Chappaqua. We're going to build a criminal case. Collect and catalog all evidence, especially what was hidden or missed during the tampering of the scene of death. Properly submit for expedited forensic examination. Collect latent prints on objects. Matched existing prints on file. Oops, surprise. Didn't know they had them on file. ID and compare residual substances to known batches on the street, connecting it to a batch, then supply, then a dealer. Meanwhile, have a forensic exam performed on any electronic device confiscated. Facebook messaging, LOL, rookie mistake, but druggies aren't that bright. Conduct interviews. Some people just love to talk and will sell their own mothers out. Answer the following questions for extra credit. When should a long-term heroin addict on probation facing multiple criminal charges on a drug-related case call 911 after realizing she injected a bad load into a man's only son who's now laser-focused on getting justice? Should she call the cops? Should she call for help 911 right away? Many hours later, after the scene's been cleaned up, facing Facebook messaging, and after stealing items from the dying man and selling them on Facebook and let go for drug money, or never have someone else call. Only one person would answer both B and C. Justice is coming. justice is coming. I agree with Doug today. I agree with him. God bless you, Doug. God bless you, and may your efforts be successful, buddy. I got a lot to do here. Okay, let's get this up here. Equal justice tour, Jared, throw that up there. We're gone, folks. We're gone. And I was hesitant. You know me, man. I like to let the cat out of the bag sometimes. It's all I can do to hold it in. And I want you to, I wish I could right now pull up on the screen and show you the criminal complaint that we're going to file. Wish you could see it. But I'm not going to do that yet because I don't want the enemy to have a foothold or leg up on anything we're trying to do. We're heading to Chappaqua, New York. Some are going tomorrow. What is today? Golly, my days are messed up. Some are going to arrive tomorrow and file the reports. Many of us are going to leave tomorrow as well, but we won't get there till later on in the evening. As I said, I got a slew that's, we've rented some cars, got a slew meeting us here in Ohio. We're driving that way. People are coming from everywhere just like they did last time. And this time it's a little bit different, folks. This time it's not indict Hillary Clinton. It is, but it isn't. This time there's going to be an action that's being done besides just doing that. We're going to continue to bring awareness. There is no absolutely, oh my goodness, Jared, if I could, I'm trying to figure out, can I play this? Can I show this report? Can I do that?
Yeah, why don't we wait, Coach?
Yeah, let's wait. Thanks, Matt. Matt, you come on in here and fill us in a little bit on what you know, what's going on. Hey, listen, folks, listen, maybe you don't care, okay? Maybe you say, this is boring. I get tired of hearing about this stuff. I want to hear about something else. Well, sit tight or go watch some other show. I don't care. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to me. It's a big deal. We believe the Lord is going to bless this effort. We believe that when Randy Lunsford showed up outside his 15 Old House Lane in Chappaqua, New York, and grabbed a hold of that threshold, we believe that he opened a portal beyond what we can even imagine. And we're going to do what my little grandson said. Lord's going to open up doors, and we're going to walk through them. And we believe Randy blasted open a threshold there, and we're going to push forward, and we're going to walk forward. Come on in, Matt.
God bless little David, Coach. God bless that boy.
Yes, sir.
And before I do, I just want to say that, praying for Doug, and I hope that justice gets done, and my heart is bleeding for him and his family. So I want everyone to think about something. As you look around and you see what's going on with Antifa, you see what's going on with these people that want to be president. You look around and you see all of the homo, you know, it's the stuff that Coach talks about all the time, the homosexual agenda, the drag queen stuff that's going on. It's getting worse, and it continues. Think about this, okay? If you're not going to show up at Chappaqua, you're accepting everything I just talked about. This is the first step that we're taking that is going to knock that whole system down. If you're okay with Antifa beating people in Oregon, if you're okay with drag queens laying on the floor and having little children climb on them and ride the horsey, which is really what they're doing, okay? I just saw it yesterday, not making it up. If you're okay with some woman in Congress that wears a cowboy hat from Florida that says, you can't make fun of members of Congress because we're going to arrest you and we're going to censor you. If you're okay with that, then don't come to Chappaqua, okay? Because we don't need you. But if you're not okay with any of that stuff, you have to join us. Can't you feel the Holy Spirit pinging you about this? We need you there. This is a spirit, Coach says it all the time. This is a spiritual fight. We got to take a physical stance against the spiritual problem.
Amen.
And this is our country. this and cut here. What day is it? Independence Day. Let's declare our independence from the evil, please.
Amen.
Come on and show up.
Amen. We got the directions of where to meet us. Thanks, Matt. It's well said. Jared, maybe you can click on that so people can find out where do they get the details. There it is. There it is. Chappaqua schedule shows us where we're going to meet at 10 a.m. at the Walmart in Mohegan Lake, New York. At 12, we're going to do a drive-by from Walmart to Chappaqua, to Walgreens. There's where we're going to meet at Walgreens, 411 King Street, Chappaqua, New York. Then other activities are planned that we're not going to tell you about. Then July 7th, some of you can go home on Saturday if you want to. That's fine after the event's over. But on July 7th, which is Sunday, we're going to be out on the streets again. We're going to continue to let people know that we have filed charges. And we want this woman to be, we want her to be dealt with. Okay, cool. I'm going to move on. I wasn't going to do this now, but let's do it. I got so many. I'm going to run through a couple really, really quick things here for you. Okay. I know it's sleeping day, but we still got 37 people that are in here with us and hundreds and thousands that are listening over the radio. Jared, I want you to pull up Steve Quayle. It says Steve Quayle and Greg Hunter. I don't know how, if you folks, I don't know if you're familiar with Greg Hunter, called American Watchdog, I think it is. USA Watchdog. There it is. I watch Greg. Greg does great stuff. He used to work for CNN. And he does a report. He's gonna, as you can see, this video that I got up on the screen, if you look at it, has almost 81,000 views since last Friday. And I couldn't believe, I watch Greg all the time. He's really, really good. He's really on top of it. Greg Hunter had Steve Quayle on. I thought, what? Steve Quayle? I love Steve Quayle. I consider Steve a personal friend. I love him. But Steve Quayle's about as edgy as you get, folks, right? In this world, you start talking about giants, you start talking about aliens, you talk about the Nephilim. Steve Quayle is out there in la-la land, right? He is one crazy duck. I about fell out of my chair when I saw that Steve Quayle was on with Greg Hunter for an hour and 33 minutes, and I watched it. I watched every bit of it. Unparalleled alien revelation. Steve Quayle has broken through. Folks, this is unprecedented in my mind. And Jared, I don't care where you start. Start about the five-minute mark on this. This guy, hey, listen, Greg Hunter, he's mainstream, man. I'm telling you, he's mainstream. And Steve Quayle gets on here and talks about giants, Nephilim, and fallen angels. Let's watch just a few minutes of this. You have got to watch this thing. It's amazing. Go ahead.
Alien interplay with the Aztecs. And he says, Steve, you know, just preliminary talking to the people that buy this stuff, it's in the millions. So I want to make it clear, I don't own those artifacts. But the fact is that there's a whole mountain and there are panels. And it's interesting because in ancient history, they always talk about the ancient tablets, the ancient emerald green tablets. And what you've got is ancient green travertine tablets. And so the entire area of the find is in private hands. It's not a Mexican state treasure. But even when my source, this is a great story because people only think it exists in Steven Spielberg, Men in Black movies. When we started talking about this, and I went on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, the following day, the owner of the artifacts was headed from one town in Mexico to the other. And Greg, he said to me, he said, Steve, a man or woman, dressed the same, eyes on me. And he said, I did what most people do. I drove straight at him. I said, what happened? He said, they disappeared. But he said, funny thing happened. Then the military showed up off my house, off the beach in there.
You can pause that now. Folks, if you're looking for, you're mowing your grass today, looking for something to do, hour and 33 minutes. And it was unbelievable because Steve Quayle went where I've never heard anybody in what I would call somewhat mainstream media go. He went to the giants. He went to the Nephilim. He went to the fact that the Smithsonian was hiding the evidence that this is all going to be released. He went to aliens. If you want a refresher, if you want to, you got to watch it. You got to watch this, okay? Greg Hunter ain't no kook. He ain't no kook. And Steve isn't a kook either. And he got this platform for an hour and 33 minutes. You gotta catch that. Okay, you gotta catch that. Anybody wanna comment on that? Anybody get a chance to see it? If not, hey Vic, when you're in the airport, whatever, download this, man, and listen to it. And
Coach, I listened to that on Sunday, and it was absolutely incredible. The part that later on he gets into the military, and the military coming for full disclosure on what they really know about aliens, Coach. It is absolutely incredible.
You know, Matt, the thing that's amazing is that somewhere outside of, hang on a second, let me lean over here. Somewhere outside of tinfoil hat land, huh?
Right.
The real truth is coming to the real people. It's coming. I can't believe that he had Steve Quayle on. It was amazing. It was a great, great, folks. It's a great, I'll drop something. I'll pick it up.
Why is the Vatican talking about baptizing aliens, right?
Yeah,
he no, for real. That and you know, even in the Whoopi coach, even in the Whoopi leaks, John Podesta is talking to Hillary and several other people about disclosure. Yeah. Right, that's Whoopi leaks from 4 years ago.
There's nothing hidden. Craig says there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, folks. Full disclosure is coming. Cool.
And there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. So, folks, in case you can't get the link, you're listening right now, just go to YouTube and type in the name Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter. That's all you need to do, because he makes videos all the time. He's got 225,000 subscribers, Greg Hunter. And he brought on Steve Quayle. Wow. Evidently, they know each other. Fascinating, because it's some of the stuff that we talk about here that nobody else talks about, and you think we're the only ones talking about. Some good news.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The amazing part is a lot of what Steve talks about is all documented.
Yes, that's right. He's not just pulling it out of thin air. He has all the documentation of it. These bones, these body parts, they're in the possession of individuals. I mean, the cover-up has been unbelievable. For all those out there that don't want to believe in the Nephilim and believe in the Giants and believe in all that, Steve goes into all of it. He's been pretty,
hey, Coach.
Fabulous folks on this subject. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I know you're trying to go somewhere else, but just to kind of piggyback on that, there was a article written about the guy. Remember about 10 years ago, there was a video that leaked out about the alien in Area 51, and they all thought it was a hoax.
Right.
Well, apparently the guy that did the video or something in an interview said it was a real alien.
Well, Paul, here's something that I've learned through some of my research. Folks, I want you to think about how long it took us from walking on four, start out, whatever you want to say, walking on 2 feet to inventing a wheel, to creating a bicycle, to, let me back up, riding a horse or a camel, to in about 30 years having rocket ships. Right in after the early 1950s, something happened technologically in the world. We don't know what it was. That all of a sudden, after the Wright, think about it, the Wright brothers, when did they fly in Kitty Hawk? 1901, maybe? I don't know. Somewhere along there. I didn't buff on it. Jared, look it up so they don't send me email saying, "Hey, you liar, that's not when they did it." When did they fly Kitty Hawk? When did they take the first flight? I think it's 1901. And that first flight of Kitty Hawk, then by 1919, we were in the Second World War and we had airplanes flying. So we did a little bit of an advancement then. Thank you. December 17th, 1903. Thank you, Polly. 1903. And then so we get to planes that we can fly finally in World War I. They start using planes. And I want you to think from 1903 when they flew at Kitty Hawk to what happened. We went from flying at Kitty Hawk in 1903 to 50 years later allegedly putting a man on the moon. Now, how did all that happen? what happened.
But Coach, you remember it was 1960, Kennedy said he wanted to go to the moon, and all of a sudden 8 years later they're going to the moon, supposedly.
Right. In a decade. We've been riding horses and riding bikes for centuries, and all of a sudden we're going to the moon. JFK said we're going to do it at the end of this decade. Somebody else tried to come in.
I was just going to say, strange part is, why is the government leaking all this stuff out now?
Why are they?
They're allowing us to see what they've been trying to cover up for the longest time. There's a reason.
Surge is coming for their purpose, though, isn't it, brother? It's coming for their purpose. So, folks, listen.
People got to wake up. People got to wake up and realize.
We got to wake up and realize. Here's a connection I'm making to Steve Quayle. There are many in the tinfoil hat business that will say that what happened in Roswell, New Mexico. When was that? Polly, look that one up for me. When was supposedly the an alien aircraft crashed?
1947, Coach.
What's that? 1947?
No, it was 1947, yeah.
1947. And 13 years later, the president says we're going to be on the moon. See, some of the conspiracy theorists on the right, because there's never a conspiracy theorist on the left. What the conspiracy theorists on the right would tell us is that they discovered alien technology that caused these immediate scientific advancements. Now you can laugh about it, or you cannot laugh about it. You heard it here. And so when Steve Quayle came on yesterday, that's what blew me away. As I say, in the interest of full disclosure. Folks, I grew up in the 60s, as many of you did. This stuff was going on in our life. We didn't even think about it. I remember sitting around with my great-grandfather who died. I'm not making it up, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not making it up. My great-grandfather died in 1963. He was 100. He was 96 years old at the time of his death. And I remember 1963, I'm 11 years old. I remember my dad, when I was about 10, asking my great-grandfather, who lived in my father's grandparents' home, asking my grandpa if he'd ever been out of the state of Ohio. And my great-grandfather said, yeah, well, I've been to Columbus a couple times. I want you to think about that a minute. Victor Alcaraz is going to jump in a car and he's going to drive to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And in 5 hours, he's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. How did this happen? How did all this technology all of a sudden happen? When we went from riding bicycles and riding horses to allegedly putting a man on the moon. Something's happening here. And see, this full disclosure is beginning to come out. And we're going to begin to understand what they've been hiding from. Hey, that there be some tinfoil hat stuff, boys. Okay, Jared, next thing, the cognitive war. Come on in while Jared pulls this up. Yes, sir. Come on.
Hey, Coach. So yeah. Steve is having his Gen 6 full disclosure conference in September. And yes, people can actually do the live stream. I don't know if you mind me plugging that or not.
No, I'm going actually. I've got a ticket already. I'm going to go.
Okay. That's going to be a conference. Mike Adams is going to be there. There's going to be a guy that belongs to, what the heck was this? Skunk Works. His family was involved in Skunk Works, revealing information that has never been revealed before. Steve's revealing other information that he knows. Obviously, Timothy Alberino is going to be there, and people can do the live stream.
Matt, I've been to several of these, many of these conferences. Now, when L.A. Marzulli speaks, he always does the same thing. He says, how many of you in here, said people sitting in the pew, down on the floor, how many people in here have had some type of an experience with an alien or UFOs, seen one, whatever? Every hand goes up. Every hand goes up. And so then he asked the question, L.A. asked the question, then why aren't our churches talking about this? I'm going to pause right there. Why aren't churches talking about this?
The reason they don't talk about homosexuality, Coach.
That's right. It's outside the comfort zone. So those who are watching right now, you're probably really think I'm really tinfoil hat. Listen, I know a lot of stuff I don't talk about. But when I saw Steve Quayle yesterday on Greg Hunter, I said, praise the name of the Lord. Full disclosure. So I came across this today. It's worth the time. In the cognitive war, the weapon is you. The weapon is you. A growing portion of the national security, intelligence, and defense communities in the US, UK, Europe, Australia, and elsewhere are exploring the concept of cognitive war. This idea is basically that irregular and unconventional methods and means, which increasingly include non-kinetic and non-lethal delivery and effects leveraging digital connectivity, have shifted the center of gravity of political conflict from a violent clash of arms on the conventional battlefield to a narrative contest among the population. In the process, traditional concepts within the art and science of violent political conflict associated with boundaries, thresholds, levels, and phases are deeply disrupted. Cognitive, meaning the ability to think. It's an information war, folks. They're after we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. Take captive every thought. The battle's not being fought with war, with guns and no. It's being fought with information. While many in this community are willing to accept we are fighting a cognitive war, few are willing to recognize the extent to which it is being lost. Losing the cognitive war raises another fashionable topic emerging lately: strategic surprise. This is not the fight we thought we would get. It is not the fight we've invested in, nor is it the fight we wanted, but it is the fight we've got. The radical shifts in how society is organized and how warfare is conducted have exposed this NSID community to strategic surprise. Listen here, are you sitting down? Losing without fighting. Somebody say amen. You don't have to say it. Somebody say amen. Losing without fighting. Cognitive warfare is not only an attack on what we think, it is an attack on the way of thinking. Not only about the conduct of warfare, but about our wide, about whole of nation security and prosperity. And one of its unique properties is the extent to which we do it to ourselves. We participate. The adversary in the age of hyperconnectivity need only show up, inject, nudge, exploit, and then disappear. The concept of below the threshold conflict becomes meaningless when we prove ourselves capable of losing without fighting. The threshold of what? The target of this type of warfare is obvious enough. It is the fabric of trust which underpins and enables the most basic functionality of an open society. Trust that extends beyond heredity and beyond the purely transactional is the fabric that supports every aspect of the nation's strategic strength. Family, race, all these things that connect us together, they are doing everything they can to pull these things down. Instead of investing in the true strength of an open society after the Cold War, we have left it to atrophy and the hubristic belief that the open way of life was universalizing. The gamers will get gamed. Easy to overlook often goes hand in hand with difficult to measure. Do that again. Easy to overlook often goes hand in hand with difficult to measure. Scientists really hate talking about this, but part of the reason for that overlooking is the resurgence of positivism. Without always understanding it, and often without stating it, the majority of research and development in defense science and technology inherits both its epistemology and its methodology from positivism, and research and development into clusters of technologies associated with AI proceeds under many of these assumptions of behavioralism. Oh my goodness, this is deep, isn't it? Isn't this deep? See, they're winning a war against us. We don't even know what's going on. We're not even fighting. There are currents in the historic drift of European thought, not arrows to truth. They are ways of thinking. The unresolved controversies in the Occidental thought trajectories are many. The discomfort, if not outright dismissal, of the assumptions they accommodate by the scientific community about to amount to cognitive vulnerability. How else can you explain that a normal man and a normal woman with children will think butt sex is normal? How else can you possibly explain that? How else can you possibly explain the fact that normal men and women do not complain when cross-dressing men come and read stories to children? A different war going on. Battle round of the mind. The heavy reliance on these communities by the NICD community means people in the latter should at a minimum be aware of the assumptions which so often go unstated by people in the former. Wow. Do I go on? When Occidentalism and positivism combine in the race for the next false dawn and technological supremacy, blind spots are produced. Folks, we have blind spots, don't we? Believers in the AI, artificial intelligence race, should be wary. We in the West see this as an S&T contest, which, while largely ignoring the social political implications. Tommy, when he was here, couldn't get off his cell phone. He couldn't get off his cell phone. For the Chinese, AI is politics, politics, politics. Is there something about non-Occidental cultural orientations that make AI applicable to human affairs in ways not amenable to us? It's an important strategic question. Positivism, by masking the salience of cultural orientation, is an exploitative weakness of our epistemic communities in needs of addressing. See what they're doing, folks. It's an information war. They're overthrowing and undermining the way you think and your children think. It's all mind control. We are being subdued. We are being conquered, not by guns, not by bombs. We're being conquered by thought. Proceed with caution. When behavioral scientists, oh, there's a term for you, isn't it? Behavioral scientists. When behavioral science get excited about manipulating people, either for benign or malign ends, what is the effect of the fabric of trust open society depends on? By the way, you notice nobody trusts the Bible anymore? How did that happen, I wonder? Huh? You know, everybody trusts Rachel Maddow and Ellen DeGeneres, and you notice that? But they don't trust their local pastor. Military organizations now scrambling to incorporate the cognitive into their operational concepts face a steep curve and many roadblocks. Friction is not always a bad thing. Hubristic behavioral interventions into complex anthropological systems, including AI, should be approached with great caution. Hidden assumptions are cognitive vulnerabilities. And what appears to be a branch of S&T competition could turn out to be a strategic cul-de-sac we might want to block out later. It's one thing to know the enemy, but in the cognitive war, it's more important than ever to know thyself. That's thick. That's deep. They've radically transformed America through mind control. Don't think they haven't. Don't think they haven't. How else can you explain churches allowing homosexuals to stand in the pulpit? How can you explain that? How can you explain millions and millions of Christians being okay with the slaughter of unborn children? How else can you explain that a person can talk about abortion and not have no emotional connection to the fact that it's a human being? How else can you explain that? How else can you explain the fact that 11% of the population votes almost 93% for the Democrats simply based on the color of their skin? How else can you explain that? Romans chapter 2:12, Jared. Thank you, Lord.
Coach, the other thing that they've done is that they've also got us convinced that the town square is now the internet, and it's no longer out in the real physical dimension.
Amen, brother.
Right?
Well, yeah, that's right. And see, they've transformed the entire underpinning of normal society from Christ-based to nothing-based.
Yep.
and that here we are Christians. Well, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Don't ever forget, it's the mercy of God. That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Hey, Jared, go to Webster's real quick. Conform. We've done this before, but maybe for those who've never been part of the show, to conform. It's to make like an external appearance. More generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence in manners, opinions, or moral qualities. Number three, to make agreeable, to square with a rule or directory, to comply with or yield to live or act according to, as, to conform to the fashion or to customs, to comply with, to obey, to conform to the laws of the state. Back to Romans, Jared. Beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable for service, and be not conformed to this world. Manipulated. But be ye transformed. Jared, that's a word, good one to look up. Transformed. We were conformed. The world's trying to conform us, and God's trying to transform us. To transform is to change the form of, to change the shape or appearance, to change one substance into another. In theology, to change the natural disposition and temper of man from a state of enmity or opposition to God and his law into the image of God, or into a disposition and temper conformed to the will of God. Jesus says, don't be like the world. Let me transform you into godliness. It's done by how we think. Go back to Romans, Jared. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the way you think. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's it, man. That's the battle right there. It's a battle in the churches. I'm sorry I haven't been given much for you guys to say stuff. I'm just loaded with it today. And I want to, Jared, if you could, excuse me. I love dialogue from you guys. But I'm in something here. Jared, pull up my commentary from today. Maybe it was Pastor Dale or somebody last week on Tuesday, I think it was. Monday, maybe it was. Said something about stillborn Christians. Stillborn. That's what I wrote on today. And although it's boring to read to people, I'm going to do it. You can read along. Most of the Christians that you run in today really aren't. Christians, that is. They really aren't Christians. They've been tricked by phony political correct preachers into believing that salvation of one's soul is as simple as walking an aisle and repeating a prayer. Being a Christian requires more than simply asking Jesus into your heart, putting on Christ, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, or merely finding the Lord. Jesus isn't lost. You don't find him. He calls people. He transforms people. He demands your death in order to receive his life. To try this on for size, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. For Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonder how many Christians today realize that salvation from one's sins requires crucifixion of one's flesh. In order to be born again, one is required to die. There can be no new birth without a death. Most stillborn Christians have never died to self. Christians love to talk about their faith walk when most never walk out their faith anywhere. Stillborn Christians are incapable of walking. That's why so many churchgoers are stillborn. The seed of life is planted in them, but their transformation was aborted after their birth. Perhaps they received the seeds of salvation at an altar. The seeds were never watered and the plant was never pruned. Church is full of stillborn Christians. That's why the church is so ineffective in advancing the kingdom of God. Why else would the church seem to be so powerless? Could it be that the life of Christ never took root and grew inside them? Is it possible that the American church today is nothing more than an incubator where the babes in Christ never make it to adulthood? Let me say it again. Most people you run into in your local assembly are cultural Christians. The message in most churches is that Christ died so that the adherents could live a more robust life. The true call of Christianity is to lay down one's life. Today, we're taught that Christ laid down his life for us. Fake religion is shallow and it destroys the life of Christ. Empty religion produces stillborn followers. Most churchgoers are not going to heaven. How do I know that? Well, simple, just read this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, and name cast out devils, and the name done wonderful things? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, man. Get out of here. Sadly, most churches ask the wrong question. Do you know Jesus? That's like asking someone if they know Donald Trump. Everyone knows Donald Trump. Would President Trump take a call from you? Would he come to your birthday party or your wedding? Of course he wouldn't, because he didn't know you. The question we need to ask Christians today is not, do you know Jesus? Does Jesus know you? Evidently, knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing you is not the same thing. Does the life of Jesus live inside you, or are you a stillborn Christian? Recent studies declare that over 75% of Americans claim to be Christians. If that were the case, how could America be in the moral condition that we're in? The homosexual alphabet mafia is less than 3% of the population, and they're in control of every major power source in America. Can you name any other sexual perversion that has an entire month to celebrate their debauchery when veterans and presidents only have one day? The homo mafia runs the government, education, media, Hollywood, the business world, big science. They're creeping into power in the evangelical church. How can that be? How can Bible-believing Christians be convinced that butt sex between two men is normal? How can the church sit silently by and allow cross-dressers to lure children into public libraries for the sole purpose of recruiting our young people into that dastardly death style? How can a sodomite stand on the stage in a Christian church? Marriage is on life support. You know the world's messed up when homosexuals want to get married. And college girls don't. Fornicating young people are granted permission to kill the life that their sinful behavior has produced. And all of this is done under the watchful eye and with the permission of the local church. One of the greatest evidence that the church is full of stillborn believers is that they've lost their voice. Isaiah said it this way, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they're greedy dogs which cannot never have enough. And they're shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his own quarter. Come ye, they say, we'll fetch some wine and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink. And boys, tomorrow's going to be better than this day, even more abundant. Dogs that cannot bark. They see the enemy at work and they are incapable of doing anything about it because dead religion produces dead followers. No wonder the nation is going to hell in a handbasket. The church world is full of stillborn Christians. No bark, no bite, no courage, in their life.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Because why? Cognitive dissonance. Mind control. Brainwashing. The Lord told us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. He told us to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring it into captivity. He told us to wash our minds with the water of the word. Cognitive dissonance. Stillborn Christians. Somebody come on in here. You can shift gears if you want to. It is Independence Day.
Hey, Coach, for a quick question. It said in the article, it said that the homosexual alphabet mafia, what's the term alphabet? Is that the LBGTQ XYZ?
They just keep adding letters, right?
Okay.
They just keep adding letters because it started out just as...
Well, it's going to go to pedophilia and bestiality.
Yeah. Because they pump up their numbers when they do that, right?
Right. Okay. Because
LGBTQ communities? You know, we have a guy running for president of the United States who's getting serious consideration, who has a husband. He's a man, and he's a man that calls himself a wife. I'm not making this up. Butt plug or whatever his name is. He's an open homosexual who's married to a man, and this guy who wants to be president would be the first female president of the United States. And people are seriously considering it. Look at this. Look at this. What's going on, folks? Well, I know what's going on. 2 Thessalonians says the Lord, because we rejected the truth, the Lord himself has sent strong delusion. We believe in lie. See, people looking there, people right now looking at this picture, they think that's marriage. They think that's good. There's people clapping. What the hell's wrong with those people? Good pictures, Jared. Look at the people clapping and smiling. I see two men kiss. I'm grossed out. Wonder what they're going to do when they take their clothes off. Anybody want to think about that for a minute? Huh? Sick. Anybody want to think about what these two guys do when the clothes off?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to change the direction for just a second, if you'd allow me. You know, today is 4th of July. And I've spent a lot of time in the last couple of days redoing an audio version of the Declaration of Independence that I did 6 years ago. And I've converted it into a video file that, in my opinion, is a pretty good video. It's easy to watch, easy to follow, and it's interesting, keeps your attention. And I'd like to, most people in this country barely know the name, the Declaration of Independence. Very few have ever read it. Even though it's shorter than the Constitution, probably fewer people have read the Declaration of Independence than have read the Constitution. I'd like to make it available for everybody on the queue and everybody listening to share with others, because the Declaration of Independence really zeroes in on the central play or the central aspect of God in our country as it was founded. The Constitution doesn't so much, but the Declaration, all throughout it, you cannot miss the connection to nature and nature's God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and divine providence. I mean, it's all there from beginning to end.
How do you make it available, Larry?
Okay, I'm going to put the link in this queue here. And for those that are just listening or watching on a version where they can't see the comments in the queue, I guess the best way is to go to my Facebook page. You can Google it. Just Google, Google Larry Richardson Facebook, Myrtle Beach, those words, and it'll bring my Facebook up, and it'll be very prominent on my Facebook timeline. But I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the chat.
I got a second. It was really good. I watched it and it was really good. Larry, I got to give you a thumbs up. That was really good. I plan on letting my granddaughter and my grandson watch that.
Hey, Larry, don't you have a YouTube? Is it on YouTube, Larry?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you find my, but man, there's about 112 Larry Richardsons on YouTube. If you find my channel,
another link. We can just share the link with everybody there. Jared, can you capture the link? Click on that, Jared. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, copy that link.
Yeah.
and put that,
that was good.
In our show notes, and everybody can have it. Rob said post it here and he'll share it on Facebook. Yeah, right. Hey, I'm banned. I can't do that, right? I can't share it on Facebook pages. Can't. Oh, thanks, Larry. That's good stuff. We'll get that thing up there. Folks, I want to show you one more thing here, just so that, that we get some understanding what's going on. Jared, pull up. It says Aaron Brummett. Pull this up. Aaron Brummett is a friend of mine. Aaron Brummett. Craig Abmeyer, who's upstairs, goes street preaching with Aaron Brummett every Friday night. Every Friday night, they hit the streets in Springfield, Missouri. Now, I want you to watch. I'm just going to watch a couple. You want to see some demons here, right? Aaron Brummett is surrounded. We're not going to. It's 18 minutes and 33 seconds. And Aaron is absolutely resolute. And doing, but I want you to watch. If you don't have the ability to discern demons, God help you. Watch how they attracted to Aaron like flies to honey. Go ahead, Jared.
You're going to hell. You don't have facial hair. You're going to hell. He has facial hair. It's going to hell.
Me. The blood of Jesus covers me, and that's why I'm not going
to hell. That's not Aaron. That's not Aaron.
Really? You have no beard. You're going to hell. He has a beard. He's going to hell. Which one's right?
I don't understand why when the Bible starts being preached. Well, we've got to have a bunch of demons from hell that show up. Jesus bread, the bread of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that can cast your demon out.
Jesus
Satan, you have no power. We're not scared of you.
What
can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Your demon doesn't have any power here.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and set you away. But what can demon? What can wash away your sins? There is power in the blood. In the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you have no power here. You have no power here. The truth of God's word has defeated you, and Satan will
stop. Folks, this goes on for 18 minutes. Aaron never bats an eye. He never gives ground. He never backs down. And he, the preaching of the word, draws them like, I hate to use flies, like hornets. They want to come and sting him. But Aaron stands his ground. You have no authority here. The blood of Jesus is against you. I watched it yesterday. I just, my jaw dropped. See, this is what we're up against, folks. This is what we're up against. The same cognitive dissonance. This thinking in America today that the godly way is the wrong way. That hadn't happened by accident, see. Not by accident. Couple minutes left. Somebody can wrap this thing up.
And if you're okay with that, then just stay home and don't come out and don't participate in anything. That's if you're okay with it. Don't worry about it.
If you're stillborn, stay home. If you're stillborn. You don't have any spiritual walk.
We're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a civil war, and we're also in a spiritual war. And if people don't come and stand up and take a stand under the blood of Christ, under the kingdom of heaven for what's right, we're going to lose it all. And we're going to lose it all, but we're also going to lose our lives.
Amen.
Your grandchildren are going to lose their lives. Your grandchildren are going to be slaves.
Well, Matt, that's what the Bible says is going to happen.
Oh yeah. We win in the end, coach. Right. Yeah,
right. That's right. That's right. Lord.
People better wake up and come out. You better wake up because we're going to lose if we don't.
Stillborn Christians. Stillborn Christians, folks.
Coach, when I go back to the days of the Revolutionary War and I think about our founding fathers, and if they could have a window and look forward to see when they signed that Declaration of Independence, which was actually in August, to look at that and say, this is the freedom that you're fighting for. I wonder if they would even have picked up a musket and said, is it worth it?
Dale, I think that every time I go to the homo parade, every time I go to the abortion clinic, you mean this is what men fought and died for? Are you kidding me?
You know, the founders probably look at us and are probably rolling over in their graves.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm not in my grave yet, but I'm rolling over.
No, sure. They're not rolling in their grave. They're dying again in their vomit. This is absolutely sickening.
Hey, Dale, it doesn't make the average person sick anymore. Something wrong with us, dude. Something wrong with us. Hey, God bless you, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dale.
Oh, no. I didn't realize it was 7. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, it happened quick, man. Hey, God bless you all. Big weekend coming up here in the Dobbenmeyer house. Pray for us. Pray for our trip to Chappaqua. We're going to stand up and pray that the Lord's will be done. That we give him a small sacrifice, and the Lord smiles upon that and breathes upon that. And it'll be something beyond what we'll ever be able to even imagine. God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you in the morning.